إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, and as such, we should praise Him, seek His help, and seek refuge in Him from the evil which is within ourselves, and the evil which results from our deeds. For whomsoever Allah has guided, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah has allowed to go astray, none can guide. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last messenger of Allah. The topic, the Day of Judgment, is a part of faith in Islam. It is one of the six pillars of Iman, the fifth, belief in the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment in the Quran is described in a number of different ways. In fact, you can find over 22 different names for the Day of Judgment. Among them, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Al-Yawm al-Akhir, Al-Sa'a, etc., etc. And all of these different names, scholars looking at why there were so many names mentioned, pointed out one in particular, Al-Qurtubi, the Spanish scholar, Spanish Muslim scholar, had said that it is the nature of the Arabic language that something which is really great or has great importance is described with a variety of characteristics and names. For example, he gave that of the sword, because of the significance of the sword in those times, its power, its benefit, its harm, etc. You can find in Arabic over 500 different names for the sword. So likewise, the Day of Judgment, because of its significance, the terrors that are involved with it, the trials and the tribulations, Allah has named it by numerous names in the Quran. And the Day of Judgment is preceded by a number of signs. Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, identified the minor and the major signs which lead up to the Day of Judgment. Going through all of them would be a lecture in and of itself. It is enough for us to address the final state of humankind, where all of the righteous are removed. The Prophet Muhammad had said a wind would come and take the souls of all the righteous human beings remaining on the earth. And the Qur'ans would become blank, and only those who are the most wretched would remain living on the earth. And at this point, when the name Allah is no longer mentioned, the Day of Resurrection will begin. And it begins with the blowing of a horn or trumpet. It catches people unawares, so much so that the Prophet ﷺ said that there would be some who would be taking food, about to put it in his mouth, and it would catch him. And he would go unconscious with the blowing of the horn, and all of the other human beings would follow. It will take place on a Friday, as the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had said, The best day on which the sun has risen is Friday. On it, Adam was created. On it, he was put in paradise. On it, he was removed from paradise. And the day of judgment will occur only on it. And when the horn is blown, all that are living, as we said, will die. Everything in the heavens and the earth will cease to exist. And Allah will begin the process of resurrecting or bringing back to life everything. The Prophet ﷺ had said, "I am the leader of Adam's children. On the day of resurrection, I will be the first to come out of the grave, and the first intercessor, and the first whose intercession will be sought." However, there are other special characteristics given to the other prophets also, and on one occasion in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where some of his companions were arguing with some of the Jewish people in Medina and arguing about Prophet Moses in relationship to Prophet Jesus, to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and when the argument was taken by the Jews to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said to the Muslims who were involved in the argument, "Do not favor me over Moses, for people will go unconscious and I will be the first to regain consciousness, only to find Moses holding on to a corner of Allah's throne. I don't know whether he was of those who went unconscious and regained consciousness, or whether he was among those whom Allah made an exception for." As we said, everybody and every being will die at that point, will go out of existence, Allah will bring them back into existence in conformity with what he said, "Kullu ma alayha fan," everything in this world will disappear, leaving only Allah. And at this point, when people are brought back from their graves or from the state of the grave, they will be gathered together. The earth's form will have changed and be like a flat plain without any characteristics, mountains, rivers, valleys, etc. And initially they will be resurrected, stark naked. As the Prophet ﷺ had said, people will be gathered on the day of resurrection, barefooted, naked and uncircumcised. And Aisha, his wife, asked, "O Messenger of Allah, men and women will be together looking at each other." And he replied, "O Aisha, the situation will be too serious for people to look at each other." Then, after that initial resurrection in that state, they will be clothed. Those who are righteous will be clothed in noble garments, and those who are unrighteous will be clothed in evil garments. And it is in this period that a variety of different occurrences will take place, where the sky will be folded up. These are all described in the Quran. And the earth will disintegrate, mountains falling to dust, the explosion and of the seas, the sun and the moon eclipsing, stars falling, all of these incidences taking place around the period of the resurrection. I should mention here that during the same period, those people who did not receive the message of Islam. And the message of Islam means the message which Allah, God, revealed to all of His prophets, from Prophet Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, and Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may God's peace be on all of them, those who did not receive the message due to being born deaf, dumb, and blind, or retarded, dying in childhood, etc. All human beings, for whatever reason, they justifiably did not hear the message. They have a position they can raise before God. Such will be brought back during the same period, and a prophet will be sent to them, a messenger from God will be sent to them, and the choice of belief in God or disbelief in Him will be presented to them, and they will be given instructions by that messenger. And those who follow the instructions will then go on through the resurrection of everybody else as among the righteous. Those who do not follow those instructions will be raised among the evil. So everyone will have a choice. Nobody is judged without the message having been brought to them. As Allah stated in the Quran, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, that I will not punish anyone until a messenger has been sent to them. At this point, where people have been raised and they stand clothed, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, stated that no human's feet will move a step forward until he or she is asked about four things: about their lifetime and how they spent it, about their knowledge and what they did with it, about their wealth, how they earned it and how they spent it, and about their bodies and how they utilized them. These four questions are questions which all of us should reflect on. These are among the first questions which will be asked of us at the time of resurrection. Our lifetime and how we spent it, whether we spent it in frivolous matters, wasting our energies, or did we use it in ways which are pleasing to God, which we can stand before God and seek His grace? Or the knowledge that we received, did we act on that knowledge? The people before us, nations before us, were cursed because of not acting on the knowledge which they received. This is repeated in the prayer Al-Fatiha, which we recite every day, when we say Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, when we ask Allah to show us the path of those, guide us to the path of those who have been blessed, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, and not the path of those who, on whom is Allah's anger and who have gone astray. The Prophet explained that those on whom is Allah's anger are the Jews, because of the fact that they received the message. Many prophets were sent to them, more in number than any other nation that we know of on the earth. Though prophets were sent to every nation and tribe, as Allah said in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ, that I have sent to every nation a messenger calling them to worship Allah alone and to avoid the worship of false gods. However, the Israelites received a large share of prophets, and so they were exposed to knowledge to a greater degree than any of the other nations of the earth. However, they did not act on that knowledge. Instead, They changed the books of Revelation which came to them. They killed their prophets, which is still recorded in the Old Testament till this day. They spread lies about the prophets. If we read the stories of the Old Testament today, the descriptions which are contained in it about the prophets of God, those who God chose to be righteous guides to humankind, they have turned them into the most corrupt, evil, sick elements of society. They're described in terms which we wouldn't want to be associated with. These are the prophets. And these are the lies about the prophets, told by those who had knowledge of the prophets. So, when Allah has informed us about this state of affairs, it is not for Muslims to point the finger at the Jews and say, well, you all didn't act according to that knowledge, so God has cursed you. It is about realizing that we will enter into the same state if we do not act in accordance with the knowledge that we have. If we do not convey that knowledge, as the Jews made their religion a private organization, not welcoming members, a private club. We have, to some degree amongst Muslims today, the same kind of attitude, where Muslims will live amongst non-Muslims, they will have classmates, workmates, etc., who are non-Muslims, and they will never say a single word about Islam to them. Such a state is a cursed state, as we will see when we look at some of the various conditions of people on that day. But specifically in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated with regards to such who would hide that knowledge, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا بَيَّنَّاهُ لِلنَّاسِ فِي الْكِتَابِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. Indeed, those who hide the clear messages after it has been revealed to them in the scriptures, such are cursed by God, cursed by Allah, and cursed by all who would curse. So the knowledge that we have, we will be asked about. What did we do with it? Did we apply it? Did we convey it? And the wealth that we have, how did we earn it? So many Muslims today earn their wealth through haram means, forbidden means. They work in companies, organizations, etc., whose goals are forbidden in Islam. And they have found justifications for it. However, on the day of judgment, those justifications will not be accepted. And our bodies and how we use them. Did we use them and abuse them? Or did we use what Allah had given us to aid us in worshipping Him and to convey His message and to live according to the life which He has prescribed? After this, after people have been questioned about these matters, we'll find that those who are disbelievers will face a series of humiliations. Actually, the humiliation begins with the point of their resurrection. Because from the time that they're standing there, as I mentioned earlier, when they are clothed, they will be clothed in an evil clothing. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ explained that the sun will be brought close to people to a distance of approximately a mile. And it will cause everyone to sweat. And the people will sweat according to their deeds. Those who have many good deeds and the sweat, and few evil deeds, the sweat would only be up to their ankles. Others with less would be up to their knees. Others will be drowning in their sweat. And at this time, you will find a variety of arguments taking place between those who worshipped false gods and the false gods that they worshipped. These are described in the Quran. Between those who were led by deviant leaders, they will argue with them. They will argue, the weak will argue against their rulers. And the disbelievers will argue against Satan. But there will be no way out. Satan, for example, will say to those disbelievers who argue against him, why did you send us astray, etc. He will say, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I had no power over you. I only called you and you responded. Even the body parts will bear witness against their owners, and there will be arguments between the human being and his own body parts, as Allah describes in the chapter Fussilat. Hatta idha ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum bima kanu ya'lun. When they reach this state, their ear hearing, their sight, and their skins will bear witness against them with regards to what deeds they did. And the people will say, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. They will say to their own skins, why are you bearing witness against us? And they will say, قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَا اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The one, Allah, who made everything speak, has made us speak. And those who are disobedient believers, those who didn't pay zakah, who didn't pay the compulsory charity, will find their sides, foreheads, and necks, and backs branded repeatedly with fire on a day which is like 50,000 years, as the Prophet Muhammad described it, and they will continue in that state until the judgment ends. And those who are proud will be raised up when they're first raised up along with everybody. They will be raised up the size of a seed of corn and humiliated. Those who are rich will be raised up in a state of degradation. Their riches will be of no benefit to them. Those who are cheaters, who cheated others and took their wealth, will find fire in their stomachs on the day of judgment. As the Prophet ﷺ said, know that whatever of your brother's wealth that you take, it will be fire in your stomachs on the day of judgment. The rich beggar, one who has means, but he goes out and begs, he will find himself on that day without any skin on his face. And those, on the other hand, who are pious, they will be free from fear. Because on this time, at this point, when people are raised up, people will be in a state of absolute fear. As Allah describes in the Quran, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. On that day, a man will run from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and from his father and mother, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and from his wife or partner, meaning husband, or and his children. On that day when everybody will be scared silly, those who are pious will be spared that fear. And there will be those in the shade of Allah's throne. The Prophet ﷺ described them as those who are young, who grew up worshipping Allah, those whose hearts were attached to the mosques, those who remembered Allah privately and their eyes became filled with tears, those who gave in charity in such a way that no one knew that they gave in charity, etc. And those who were martyrs, those who controlled their anger, those who freed believing slaves, and those who called the Adhan, and a variety of other righteous deeds, they will find with them on that day a special status where Allah will alleviate from them some of the trials of that time. Furthermore, following this state, people will be gathered. They will be gathered together and driven on towards the judgment. Intercession will take place prior to the actual moving from that initial state. People will run to the various prophets, and Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, will be the one to intercede on their behalf to start the process of moving forward for the judgment. And on that day there will be a variety of types of intercession. But of course, no intercession will take place except that which Allah has permitted to take place. The people will be moved forth for the judgment, and the judgment of their deeds will take place according to five basic principles. One, absolute justice, that no one will be oppressed in any way. Two, no one will be held accountable for the sins of others. However, some will carry the sins of them, their own sins, along with the sins of others. Not that they are accountable for the sins of others, but that they pointed others on an evil way. As the Prophet Muhammad had said, whoever starts an evil way, a sunnah sayyi'ah, that individual will receive the sin of having started that way, as well as the sin of everyone who goes down that path until the last day. But it will not reduce the sin of those who have taken that path. It will be additional sin on themselves. But of course, Allah is most merciful and He's just, so that those who start a good way, likewise, they will get the reward of everyone who goes down that path, without decreasing their reward in the least. It will be added to them. And God's grace will be manifest in the fourth way, or in the third way, that the good deeds will be multiplied. All good deeds done will be multiplied 10 times to hundreds of times, whereas evil deeds will only be held as one. This is the grace of God among His creatures. And people will see all of their deeds. This is among the principles. No one will be tried, will be judged, without having seen the deeds that they have done. So no one will have an argument against God, I didn't do this, I didn't know, somebody told me to do it and I really didn't know better. All of the type of arguments that we make up for committing sins, committing evil, when we see our deeds before us, we will not be able to raise any such arguments, because the reality will be very clear. These are choices that we have made, and we now will be responsible for them. Fifthly, witnesses will be brought against the disbelievers and the hypocrites. When the judgment takes place, those who have done good deeds, but for the wrong intentions, these will be exposed on that day. The Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, had said that among the first three people who would be thrown into hell would be a scholar, a martyr, and a philanthropist. Each was given something by Allah, whether it was knowledge, or it was courage, physical strength, prowess, and wealth. Allah will ask them, "What did you do with these which I gave you?" And each will say, "I used it for your pleasure. I spread the knowledge that you gave me for your pleasure. I fought. I gave up my life for your sake. I gave of my wealth as you instructed, seeking only your pleasure." However, God will say to them, "No, that is not the case. You taught knowledge so that people would say, 'What a great scholar you are. How intelligent, how smart, how wise.' And people said it. You fought because you wanted people to praise, to clap for you. What a courageous warrior. How brave. And you gave wealth, not for my sake, but so people would say, 'What a generous person. How kind he is.' And all of these things have been said in that world. There's nothing for you in this life. They will be dragged off on their faces and thrown into the hellfire." Also, at this time, people's sins will be exposed, other sins exposed. Those who did certain righteous deeds, God may veil some of their sins from the people. As the Prophet Muhammad had said, whoever guards the honor of a believer, protects his or her honor, defends them in justice, of course, on the day of judgment, Allah will protect their honor. He will shield their sins from being exposed. And books, the books will be given. The books which contain the record of our deeds, written by the angels that are with every human being recording their deeds. Those who are righteous will receive their book of deeds in their right hands. Those unrighteous will not want to receive their book of deeds. They will put their hands behind their backs to avoid receiving it, but it will still go into their hands anyway, into their left hands. We strive, we want to be, or should want to be, among those who receive our book of deeds in our right hands. And as a reminder of this day, of this time, when people will want their book of deeds in their right hands, the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, instructed the believers to focus on the right, that we eat with our right hands. We shake hands with our right hands. We give with our right hands. We receive with our right hands. When we put on our shoes, we put on the right foot first. When we go into the mosques, we step in with the right foot first. All of this as a part of a reminder to us of the right of wanting to be among those who receive our book of deeds in our right hands. And at this point, there will be revenge for all who have been oppressed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Do you know who is the truly bankrupt person?" to his companions. They replied, "The bankrupt person among us is the one who has neither dirhams nor dinars." And the Prophet explained, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the truly bankrupt person is the one who comes before Allah with their scale of deeds, or scale of good deeds, heavy, only to find that because they had backbitten people, they had slandered them, they had cursed them, they hit others, and they had stolen the property of others, and they cursed yet others, that their good deeds will be taken away from them, from their scale of good deeds. All who were oppressed would come and take from their scale of good deeds. And they would continue until the scale of good deeds ends. There are no more good deeds. And at that point, those people would then take from their scale of evil deeds and add it to that individual scale until their scale would be full of evil and they would be taken off and thrown into hell. On that day, as a demonstration of Allah's justice, He will bring back two animals, a goat without horns and a goat with horns, who in this life, while they were on a mountain, the goat with horns knocked the goat without horns off. And Allah will have that goat without horns return the favor. Then they will be turned into dust, as an expression of the completeness of justice on that day. And people from there will head off, the believers heading towards a pond. A pond where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the first to arrive. And as he said, "Whoever passes by me on that day and will drink from the pond will never be thirsty again. A group of people will come to me whom I recognize and who will recognize me. Then they will be veiled from me and I will say, 'They were from among my followers.' It will be said, 'Indeed, you do not know what innovations they made in the religion after your time.' So I will say to them, 'Be off. Be off with you to whatever you changed in the religion after me.'" This particular scene is one which should cause us to reflect on innovation in religion, bid'ah, where we have, unfortunately, a number of Muslims today trying to defend innovation in religion, saying that this innovation we're doing is a bid'ah hasana, it is a good innovation. When the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had already said, "Kullu bid'atin dalala." All innovation in religion is misguidance. All innovation in religion is misguidance. For every time we introduce an innovation, an aspect of the way of the Prophet, the Sunnah, is destroyed. That is the reality. For every innovation, there is a sunnah destroyed. All innovation is misguidance. Whatever arguments people may make, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, كل بدعة ضلالة ولو حسنه الناس أو حسنها الناس. Every innovation is misguidance, even if the people say it is good or consider it to be good. It is all misguidance. And the consequence of it will be met at that point, at the pond, the hawd, where, as the Prophet ﷺ said, those who drink from it will not be thirsty again. Following this, people will be gathered and sent off to hell, those who are evil, and others will be taken to the bridge, the Sirat, a bridge over hell. That group will contain both believers as well as the hypocrites, those who feigned belief, and sinners. But at that point, when they reach the bridge, they will be enveloped in total darkness. Those who are the true believers will be guided by a light which Allah will put on them based on their iman, on their faith. The stronger their faith, the brighter and the stronger the light. And they will be able to head off towards the bridge. Those who have no light because of their hypocrisy and their sins, when they run to those who have the light and beg of them to share some of the light with them, they will tell them, no, go to the back and find the light. There, you cannot share in our light. And a wall will be put between them. A wall, as Allah describes it in the Quran, that on the inside where the believers with the light are, there will be mercy. And on the outside, there will be punishment. And then people will cross the bridge and into paradise. Those are the basic elements or scenes from the Day of Judgment. From it, there are a variety of points that I've mentioned as I went through that we need to reflect on. To what degree are we prepared for this day? What is our state of preparation? Whether it is about our lives, how have we used our lives, our wealth, our strength, our spare time. Do we really have spare time? Is there time to kill, as people say? No. We cannot afford to allow any moment of our lives to pass without taking benefit. Because every moment which is gone forever. We will meet it again on that day. Belief in the Day of Judgment is a part of faith. It gives the believer a sense of purpose, strength, and resolve to hold on to what is right, because they know that however life may appear to us, where success seems to go to those who are involved in evil, those who are righteous may not succeed in worldly matters. But because they know the judgment is real, they have the strength, the moral fortitude to hang in there and stick with what is right. They know that no one who does evil will escape that evil. No matter how pleasant their death might have seemed, those who are righteous and die in horrible circumstances, painful circumstances, no matter how horrible and painful it may seem, the horror and the pain is purification for them in leaving this world, as the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had promised. That those who are righteous, Allah will try them with suffering to purify them through their patience. When you're patient with suffering, you're purified. To purify them so that they leave this world free from sin. And they meet Allah on that day without fear. So we need to reflect. The day of judgment, the day of resurrection, the day of the weighing of deeds, the day of gathering, that terrible day. We say we believe in it as Muslims. Because to say otherwise is to reject Islam. However, we have to ask ourselves, does our lives represent or reflect that belief? Because if we are living as if there is no tomorrow, if we are enjoying the pleasures of this life as if this is paradise, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "Ad-dunya sijn al-mu'min wa jannatul kafir." Dunya is this world and its pleasures represents a prison for the believers and paradise for the disbelievers. So if we are living and enjoying the pleasures as if this is paradise, and yet we're saying, yes, I believe in the day of judgment, what value is that saying? Allah is not going to judge us according to what we said, but what we believed. So this is something we need to reflect on very seriously. Along with each and every pillar of Islam, and Iman and faith, but especially this pillar, we need to ask ourselves, what does our lives represent? Does it represent one who believes that he or she will be accountable for their deeds, for their sins, for their acts? Or does it represent one who doesn't? It's a very simple question. Each and every one of us needs to leave here tonight asking ourselves that question. If the answer is that our lives reflect a disbelief in the day of judgment, then we need to turn it around. We need to take concerted steps to bring it in line with what our belief is supposed to be. Unfortunately, I would say that for the majority of us, this is the case, that our lives do not represent our beliefs. And this is one of the big or major reasons why Islam is not respected in many parts of the world where Muslims live as minorities. Among non-Muslims, that their lives not reflecting Islam do not encourage anyone to want to find out about it, to want to live in accordance with it. When we look at the early generation of Muslims, from the time of Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, and the generations that followed, we find that they lived Islam. Those early converts converted to Islam not because of the convincing arguments of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. He didn't convince his wife Khadija, for example, or Ali, his cousin who he raised in his home, or Zayd, the slave who had been given to him. Those early people who converted to Islam converted because of the character that he had. The character which reflected faith, sincerity, righteousness, and goodness. And this is what Islam calls to. A character which reflects belief. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was only sent to perfect for you the highest of moral character traits. So each and every one of the pillars of Islam and Iman, especially the Day of Judgment, these principles are moral principles. We understand the details, but we should live the moral principles which come from them. A person who believes in the Day of Judgment, we have so many examples where the Prophet Muhammad would say, whoever believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment will be kind to his guests. Whoever believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment will either speak good or be silent. And so on and so forth. Talking about character, about how a person lives his or her life. Relating it back to belief in Allah on the Day of Judgment. Because ultimately, if we do believe that we are accountable, we will meet our deeds, then our lives will truly be righteous lives. And that's the essence of what the Day of Judgment and belief in it calls us to. I will leave the floor to you to raise whatever questions that you had and try to answer them from this point. Thank you. Regular questions, if there's time at the end, we'll address them, inshallah. First question, as I know every baby born in a Muslim family if a person, non-Muslim, grows up in a place that there is not even Islam or information, he or she died without receiving Islam. Actually, this was already explained in the lecture, what happens to them. If a Muslim does not pray the 5 times prayer, what is the punishment? Well, we know that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said the first question that the Muslims will be asked about on the Day of Judgment will be the Salah, about their prayers. And if they do not have an answer for their prayers, in other words, they had abandoned their prayers, then questions will not continue. It will not be like examinations here in the university, where if you get 50% in maths and you get 90% in biology, they take the average. No. If you have failed in the area of salah, you have failed. What sins will God not forgive? Well, the major sin which God will not forgive, if a person dies in a state of worshipping other than Allah, other than God, that is the one sin which is unforgivable. Any other sin which a person dies with, without having repented from it, then it is up to Allah. He may forgive them, overlook it, based on other good deeds that they have done, or they may be punished for a period of time in hell. This is part of the details of the intercession. I didn't really go into it for the sake of allowing enough time for you all to ask your questions. But among the forms of intercession which will take place is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others will be allowed to take certain people out of hell who are believers, who are being punished in hell, but Allah has decided that their punishment, they have received sufficient punishment, and then the Prophet and others will act as intercessors to take them out. And that is an honor which is given them and not a private right which they have wherein they can step in where God has already made a decision and counteract his decision. Question is, backbiting one of those unforgivable sins? Well, no, but it is very serious, as the Prophet ﷺ had said, that one who backbites, you know, would not enter paradise. However, this is not entering paradise, not ever, but they would not enter paradise initially. If we could clear before our death, will we be punished for the backbiting? Yes, you will not be punished if you clear yourselves, if you have backbitten anybody or harmed anybody, lied or cheated, if you try to clear it whilst you're still living, then the sin of it will be removed from you if you do it sincerely. How long will the Day of Judgment last? It's called the Day of Judgment. It will be one day. But that day will be as long as Allah wishes it to be. And it was mentioned, as I mentioned earlier, that the person, or one of the people who would be punished on that day, the person who didn't give zakah, that they would be continually branded with flame from the fire for a day, or the day, and that time is described as being like 50,000 years.